TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features biodiversity scientist Kevin Njabo, recorded live at TED Global 2017.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
So many of us who care about sustainable development and livelihood of local people do so for deeply personal reasons. I grew up in Cameroon, a country of enchanting beauty and rich biodiversity, but plagued by poor governance, environmental destruction, and poverty. As a child, like we see with most children in sub-Saharan Africa today, I regularly suffered from malaria. To this day, more than 1 million people die from malaria every year, mostly children under the age of 5, with 90% occurring in sub-Saharan Africa. When I was 18, I left Cameroon in search of better educational opportunities. At the time, there was just one university in Cameroon, but Nigeria next door offered some opportunities for Cameroonians of English extraction to be trained in various fields. So I moved there. But practicing my trade upon graduation as an ecologist in Nigeria was an even bigger challenge. So I left the continent when I was offered a scholarship to Boston University for my PhD. It is disheartening to see that with all our challenges, with all the talents, with all the skills we have in Africa as a continent, we tend to solve our problems by parachuting in experts from the West for short stays, exporting the best and brightest out of Africa, and treating Africa as a continent in perpetual need of handouts. After my training at Boston University, I joined the research team at the University of California's Institute of the Environment and Sustainability because of its reputation for groundbreaking research and the development of policies and programs that save the lives of millions of people the world over, including the developing world. And it has been shown that for every skilled African that returns home, 9 new jobs are created in the formal and informal sector. So as part of our program, therefore, to build a sustainable Africa together, we are leading a multi-initiative to develop the Congo Basin Institute, a permanent base where Africans can work in partnership with international researchers, but working at their own solutions to their own problems. We are using our interdisciplinary approach to show how universities, NGOs, and private business can partner in international development. So instead of parachuting in experts from the West for short stays, we are building a permanent presence in Africa, a one-stop shop for logistics, housing, and development of collaborative projects between Africans and international researchers. So this has allowed students like Michelle to receive high-quality training in Africa. Michelle is currently working in our labs to investigate the effects of climate change on insects for his PhD, and has already secured his postdoctoral fellowship that would enable him to stay on the continent. Also, through our global health program, Dr. Ngwenga Abiodun, a young Nigerian scientist, can work as a postdoctoral fellow with the Foundation for Professional Development, the University of Western Cape in Southern Africa, and the University of California at the same time investigating the effect of climate variability and change on malaria transmission in Africa. Indeed, Ngwenga is currently developing models that will be used as an early warning system to predict malaria transmission in Africa. So rather than exporting our best and brightest out of Africa, we are nurturing and supporting local talent in Africa. For example, like me, Dr. Eric Fokam was trained in the US, He returned home to Cameroon, but couldn't secure the necessary grants. And he found it incredibly challenging to secure, to practice the development of science. He knew he could. So when I met Eric, he was on the verge of returning to the US. But we convinced him to start collaborating with the Congo Basin Institute. Today, his lab in Boya has over half a dozen collaborative grants with researchers from the US and Europe, supporting 14 graduate students, 9 of them women, all carrying out groundbreaking research, understanding biodiversity under climate change, human health and nutrition. So rather than buying into the ideas of Africa taking handouts, we are using our interdisciplinary approach to empower Africans to find their own solutions. Right now, we are working with local communities and students, a US entrepreneur, scientists from the US and Africa to find a way to sustainably grow ebony, the iconic African hardwood. Ebony, like most African hardwoods, are exploited for timber, but we know very little about their ecology, what disperses them, how they survive in our forest 80 to 200 years. This is Alvin, a young PhD student working in our labs, conducting what is turning out to be some cutting-edge tissue culture work. Alvin is holding in her hands the first ebony tree that was produced entirely from tissues. This is unique in Africa. We can now show that you can produce African timber from different plant tissues, leaves, stems, roots, in addition from germinating them from seeds, which is a very difficult task. So other students will take the varieties of ebony which Arvin identifies in our lab, graft them to produce saplings, and work with local communities to co-crop this ebony with local fruit tree species in their various farms using our on-tree farm approach, whereby we invite all the farmers to choose their own tree species they want in their farms. So in addition to the ebony, the species which the farmers choose themselves will be produced using our modern techniques and incorporated into their land use systems so that they start benefiting from these products while waiting for the ebony to mature. Today, we are planting 15,000 ebony trees in Cameroon, and for the first time, ebony won't be harvested from the middle of the pristine forest. This is a model for other African hardwoods, and we are extending this to include sapele and bubinga, other highly prized hardwoods. So if these examples existed when I was 18, I'll never have left. But because of initiatives like the Congo Basin Institute, I am coming back. But I'm not coming back alone. I'm bringing with me Western scientists, entrepreneurs, and students, the best science from the best universities in the world to work and to live in Africa. But we all need to scale up this local, powerful, and empowerment approach. So far, we have half a dozen universities and NGOs as partners. We are planning to build a green facility that will expand on our existing laboratory space and add more housing and conference facilities to promote long-term disciplinary approach. And we need to offer more opportunities to young African scholars, and we'll scale it up by leveraging the International Institute of Tropical Agriculture's existing network of 17 research stations across sub-Saharan Africa. The tables are starting to turn, and I hope they keep turning. Today, several African nations, like Cote d'Ivoire, Tanzania, and Senegal, are among the top fastest-growing economies that can attract several opportunities for private sector investment. We want to give more opportunities to African scholars, and I long to see a day when the most intelligent Africans will stay on this continent and receive high-quality education through initiatives like the Congo Basin Institute. And when that happens, Africa will be on the way to solving Africa's problems. And in 50 years, I hope someone will be giving a TED Talk on how to stop the brain drain of Westerners leaving their homes to work and live in Africa. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com. 20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information. But he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts. PRX.